Our science commentator today is Susie Wiles. We're going to be talking about other matters, but clearly, Susie, COVID in the community is back and there's a lot to talk about. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wonder if we could pick up an interesting element that has come out of the media conference, which is that it's not being ruled out that the virus could have been brought into New Zealand via freight in the cool store workplace. Now, as we mentioned in this family, one person worked in a finance company, one person worked in what is some kind of a cool store or a logistics company, four sites in Auckland. They've been emphasising that they are testing surfaces at those four sites and not ruling out that this is a possible source of origin for this case. It's interesting, Susie, we've been focusing a lot more on airborne than surfaces for a long time.
Yeah, so, well, we definitely know that that does seem to be the primary way it transmits person to person. What has been interesting is that in, I think in China, where they've had a resurgence in cases, they think it's been associated with sort of things coming into the country frozen, like maybe frozen food and things. And so kind of testing has gone around that. So I wonder whether this is what's prompting the testing that's being done here. It's quite rare, I guess, because most of the cases that are happening of COVID-19 are person-to-person transmission. But this is, it's obviously, you know, need to rule that out because it may well mean that there is less happening in the community than if it didn't come in this way.
So that is one possibility as we try to work out the mystery of how this household, the original case in the household, has contracted when so far there has been no connection that can be made to the border or any logical path back to people working at the border, any sort of contacts. This is why we're back in this situation. So the surfaces in the freight store is one thing that is being used to try and rule out or determine whether that is the starting point. The second thing they're doing that's interesting is this genome sequencing of the family's case and also any present current cases in quarantine. And presumably that's to see if even if it's not been detected, there is somehow some kind of link between the border at the moment and this case.
Yeah, I mean, so one potential is that there's a train of transmission and it's not, you know, this is not the family is not the direct, doesn't have a direct link to managed isolation or the borders, but that there's another link that between the two. And so that we don't know about yet, perhaps that person hasn't, you know, come forward with symptoms or anything like that. So the genome sequencing is going to help kind of place this virus. We know that around the world the virus is changing slightly.
Okay, Susie.
And so we can see which ones are coming from which country.
Susie, hold that thought. I'm going to come back to you. We're going to cross back to Parliament to the Police Commissioner Andrew Costa. And welcome back, Susie Wiles. Good morning.
Good morning.
We were just talking about the genome testing, I think. And again, as the attempts are made to try and find out the origin case for this household. We mentioned that surfaces are being tested, the possible hypothesis that it may have come in through freight, overseas freight into one workplace. The genome testing is to try and see if there is an so far undiscovered connection with a quarantine case at the border, Susie?
Yeah, so the virus is changing very slightly as it's moving through people and around the world. And so what this will tell us is it related, very closely related to cases that are in managed isolation at the moment? And that will help us try and determine a link there. If it's not, then that becomes a little bit more worrying. I would have thought if we'd had widespread community transmission at the moment, we would have seen people in hospital with COVID-19, and we haven't seen that yet. So it's something that's happened recently, and so that's why moving so fast and so hard will help us basically stamp it out.
That seven-day cycle, though, if one case, two cases presented, tested and confirmed as of yesterday, are the next 7 days very, very, very sensitive for finding out whether there are others who have either been infected from the same origin case, unknown, or who have contact with this. The next 7 days, very important as to indicate what we might be heading for.
Yeah, I mean, even just the next few days. So it's kind of like a detective case at the moment, right? The contact tracing will be going two ways. So in the first instance, it's taking the people, these cases, looking at who they have been in contact with at the time that they've been had symptoms and a few days before, because those are the people who are potentially have it now. And then it's going back 2 weeks and saying, right, who have they been in contact with at that time? To see where they might have picked it up from. And so this is, you know, this is a difficult thing. It's the reason why we're asking everybody to keep a track of where they've been, you know, and who they've been with, because this information is absolutely vital.
Well, it's interesting. I think I was just reading in one of RNZ's flashes, 100,000 people signed up for the government's COVID tracing app overnight. That's still a tiny proportion, though, of what do you hope for? Around 40% of the overall population signing up. But still,
but
it's prompted something.
Everyone is important.
True, and it's prompted a response. Can we talk about Rotorua? One of the family members in their 20s and a detached family, including a preschooler, I think, although a preschooler, it was pointed out, who doesn't attend or hasn't attended a preschool, travelled to Rotorua, where they met with family and also say they went to some tourism attractions. This was at the weekend before they were tested. What's the situation here? Obviously, that we know where that case has come from and how they were infected from within the family. Now they've travelled to Rotorua. What's the difference between testing close contacts and testing casual contacts? Why are things a little different in Rotorua from Auckland?
Yeah, so what the focus is in Rotorua is whether the people who were infectious, whether they have potentially spread the virus to anybody else. And so this is where kind of the type of exposure is really, really important and the difference between a close contact and a casual contact. So if you have been in contact with somebody for a very fleeting amount of time, you know, there's much less chance of the virus to transmit that way compared to being with somebody for extended periods of time. So this is, so someone that you spend, you know, a significant amount of time with is a close contact. Someone that you may have just passed by briefly is more a casual contact, so much less chance of an infection there. But it will be why everybody in Rotorua needs to be, you know, mindful of if they have any symptoms at all, getting in touch with Healthline or their GP to see about getting a test.
What are some of the stuff that we need to remember here? I guess what's happened between now and March is we've known about this thing for so much longer. We've had a period of reprieve for it. You're worried about some of what you're seeing on social media, right, and some of the stuff that's getting spread around. What's the core message?
Well, my core message is for people not to panic. You know, we have done this before. We have, you know, we've stamped out this virus, we can do it again. And I'm just worried that people are getting a lot of misinformation about, you know, thinking that this is a hoax and the timing is all really suspicious. Please, we only beat this together. And so by behaving as a team, you know, if you have family members who are falling down that conspiracy theory hole, please talk to them about why they're, you know, believing that stuff, because we need everybody to act together to come through this again.
The other interesting change that there's been, Susie, is the mask use. We're sort of edging closer. Andrew Costa saying in that media conference, all police in Auckland will be wearing masks. Flights out of Auckland, it's going to be mandatory to wear masks. There's an encouragement to wear masks, particularly if you're in an area where social distancing is difficult. But still,
why now?
Well, why now and why sort of only a bit now, you know?
Yeah, so there's been, you know, building evidence that that using a mask will help if you are somebody who has COVID-19 and you are, you know, that will help to collect some of those droplets and things to help essentially reduce the transmission that happens. One of the problems before is that, you know, the people were thinking that using a mask would protect them from getting infected. So we just need to change our mindset. It's much more an act of helping others in case we are infected. And one really, really important thing is you have to cover your mouth and your nose. Just this morning, I've seen somebody walk past my window with his mask over his mouth, with his nose uncovered. So you need to cover both your mouth and your nose. And you don't need to wear, you know, the disposable ones. There are lots and lots of online videos on how to make them, including ones that have got a little transparent window so that people who lip read can still do that. So, yeah, spend the next few days looking through. You know, you don't even need a sewing machine for some things. You can use socks and T-shirts. It's all quite simple to do.
Thank you very much. As always, Susie Wiles is 99 Science commentator.